this weekend we celebrate President's Day weekend, and we have this this national holiday on Monday to celebrate the gift of the many people who have occupied that office of presidents. We've had some who have been really spectacular, like Washington and Lincoln, and some whose contribution is more up for debate. But we have to honor these people who have vowed to preserve and protect the freedom of our citizens. And so in light of our readings today, it's a good day to ask, freedom for what? You know, is it when we're babies, when we're infants, when we're children, kind of live under the rule of our parents. Sometimes easily, sometimes not so easily. I always have a great deal of sympathy for parents when they go through that period when their child first discovers the word no, and then says it again and again and again. So, but generally, we go through that period of life, and then as we grow older, as we mature, we make more and more decisions for ourselves. But the problem is that all that freedom means? To do what I want when I want to do it. And that ultimately can't be what freedom means, because ultimately, if I do that, if I believe that that's what freedom is, my freedom is ultimately going to conflict with somebody else who's trying to do the very same thing at the same time, and maybe our ideas actually clash. So what else can freedom mean? Obviously, there has to be some sort of accommodation. There has to be some way of me exercising my freedom that doesn't impinge on the freedoms of others. But is that all that freedom is? Is it merely a social contract? You know, it seems not something big enough for these people to have sworn to protect us, to preserve that, or for the men and women of our armed services to have protected that kind of freedom if that's all that freedom means. Now, I said that our readings have something to say about freedom. And you're going to say, well, wait a second. You know, our readings talk about law and obeying the law. What does that have to do with freedom? It seems almost the backwards. But not if we hear it correctly. Not if we hear what's really going on. Because when the readings today talk about the law of God, they talk about the law of faith and obeying it, they talk about the freedom to enter in more deeply to our own identity of who God has created us to be. Now, I know that this is a temptation in our society. A lot of people flee faith when they're trying to become their own person, when they're trying to become adults. Sometimes they start confusing the law of faith with every other kind of law. You know, that if we just change our experience from being under our parents to being under our culture or under what friends ask or what work asks of us, yeah, that's a childish form of freedom. But what God is asking of us is entirely different. You've heard me tell you before that God is not in competition with us. To obey his law is not because he's arbitrarily set these things up. And that admonition that if we keep the law, we will be saved, is not just about fulfilling the rote obedience to the law. You know, I've heard people say in confession, you know, when they talk about the Ten Commandments, said, well, Father, you know, I'm a pretty good person. I haven't killed anyone. Yay! We'll alert the media. You know, it's not just about living out those commandments in kind of, you know, that if I do this, all of a sudden I'm going to be saved. What Jesus is saying in the gospel, what what God is inviting us into in the book of Sirach today is to understand that our obedience is a freedom for excellence. It's a freedom to understand who we are at our deepest level. So when we live out the law of the Lord, when we live out his commands, it's not because he's trying to impose something on us, but he's laying out before us, this is what it means to be a human being. This is what it means to be a person of love. This is what it means to be a person who gives themselves away. Now we're thinking about moral excellence. Let's think about sports excellence for a moment. Okay, we have here at UVA, we have been blessed with some really great teams over the last few years. How do they get that way? Lots of boring practice. Lots of drills, right? Drills may be boring. Practice may be boring. But what ends up happening is that if you practice and drill enough, it becomes second nature. And then on the field or on that basketball court, it becomes artistry. They become free to use their talents to do things that you and I could not do. It's the same thing with moral excellence. Sometimes when we live out the faith, when we live out a life of prayer, sometimes it takes hard work, and the Lord will give us the grace to do that. The Lord gives us the grace to fulfill his commands. We also need to ask. But when that law becomes so much a part of us, think of the artistry of the life of the saints. Think how they don't effortlessly do this, but how effortlessly it seems to us. Their love for others, their love for God, fills the world, and we just stand amazed at them. Those of you who will be receiving the sacrament of confirmation today, you're being given this sacrament so that the Lord can strengthen you to give witness to your faith. He can strengthen you for moral and spiritual excellence. And so that you can live a life of what it means to be united with Christ in this Eucharist day in, day out. So that not only that you receive the Eucharist for the first time, but that you become Eucharist for our community, for our families, and for this world. So don't ever think that the law of the Lord is like, oh, I ran a red light. Okay, you shouldn't run a red light, by the way. But it's not just the same as some sort of arbitrary law out there. That when we are asked to live the law of the Lord is giving us a hint of who we are called to be before him. And that is not just a mature faith, that is a faith that is based in the very love that God has for us.